Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 36 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
We hope this relationship continues to strengthen so that we can do more events like this.
Moorhead State is planning events for Veterans Day.
The Bath County History Museum is set to open next week.
Officials with the U.S. Postal Service say it's time to watch out for porch pirates.
U.S. health officials say they know what caused 40 vaping-related deaths.
Kentucky sports radio host Matt Jones says he wasn't planning to run against Mitch McConnell.
In sports, the Viking volleyball team heads to the first round of state while the football team begins district play tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear with a low around 19. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
To honor current and former members of the U.S. military, Moorhead State will hold several events on Veterans Day, which is Monday, November the 11th. The events are being held in cooperation with Rowan County Schools and American Legion Post 126. There will be a luncheon for veterans around the community in the ballroom of the Adrian Dorn University Center on MSU's campus at 11:30 a.m. Moorhead State Director of Military Initiatives, Dr. Silas Session, says events like this are important to have not only for campus, but also for the community.
Just going to be a great event to really get everybody together. And some of the folks who may not know or who did not meet a veteran will be able to see some of the students and the faculty and staff who have served or are serving in our nation's military.
The day's events will conclude with a special Veterans Day program at the Rowan County Senior High School at 1:30.
A national organization that assists individuals, friends, and family with mental illness is hosting a support group in Moorhead Tuesday evening. The National Alliance on Mental Illness aims to help those facing a wide array of issues, whether it be depression or schizophrenia. Carol Morello is the president of the Moorhead chapter of NAMI. She says even though individuals may be hesitant to seek out help with mental illness, they really shouldn't be.
If you have anxiety, maybe that doesn't have as much stigma as some of the others, if you're depressed, but, you know, maybe 1% of the population has schizophrenia. One in every five people is affected in some way by mental illness. So there really shouldn't be a stigma, but there is.
The group meeting will take place in the Rowan County Public Library Conference Room at 6 p.m. Tuesday. Speaking at the event will be Kathy Clay from St. Clair Behavioral Health. She'll be discussing the impact of negative thinking on mental health. For more information, call 606-356-3181.
The grand opening of the Bath County History Museum has been set for next week. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
The Bath County News Outlook reports the grand opening is scheduled for Saturday, November 16th. The museum comes to fruition after over 2 years of volunteer work. It's located in the upstairs courtroom at the Old Bath County Courthouse on Main Street in Owingsville. Bath County Tourism Director Brent Frizzle will announce an official time for the grand opening and ribbon-cutting ceremony by local officials in coming days. In the meantime, the public is invited to pay homage to veterans and local history at the museum on Veterans Day. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd.
The United States Postal Service has a warning for online shoppers this holiday season. Watch out for porch pirates. Officials say thefts appear to be increasingly common during the holiday season. Susan Wright with United States Postal Service tells LEX18 how to keep purchases from being stolen.
Don't leave your items unattended on your porch or in your mailbox for extended periods of time. Also, you can plan ahead. You could ask someone, a neighbor or someone, to check your mail for you.
If a package does get stolen, Wright says customers should call local law enforcement and the Postal Inspection Service at 877-876-2455.
U.S. health officials are reporting a breakthrough in their investigation into the cause of an outbreak of vaping illnesses. A government lab found the same chemical compound in lung fluid from 29 patients. The compound, vitamin E acetate, was previously found in vaping fluid used by many of those who got sick. But officials said Friday that this is more direct evidence that the chemical may be to blame. Vitamin E is safe as a vitamin pill or to use on the skin, but inhaling oily droplets can be harmful. It has recently been used to thicken vaping fluid, particularly in black market vape cartridges. More than 2,000 Americans who use electronic cigarettes have gotten sick this year, and at least 40 have died.
Lexington City officials have started to repurpose all the unwanted election signs around the city. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has more.
Lexington authorities will be collecting old election signs for local businesses and art projects. Collection bins will be available through Sunday, November 17th in select locations around the city. Those who have a large number of signs should email livegreen@lexingtonky.gov to arrange a drop-off at the Government Center. To find a drop-off location near you, visit lex18.com. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
While experts say Governor Matt Bevin's requested canvass is unlikely to produce a major swing in the vote count of Tuesday's gubernatorial election, the incumbent Republican can also move to contest the results. Contesting the race would send the matter before a randomly selected committee of the GOP-dominated legislature made up of 8 House members and 3 senators. That panel would take evidence and hear arguments before issuing a report to the full General Assembly. Election law expert Josh Douglas says a lot would hinge on what kind of evidence Bevin could produce.
You know, if there is no evidence of any sorts of voting irregularities or anything that would really call the election into question, then I think it would be very surprising for even members of his own party to throw the election his way without any evidence whatsoever. And it would be really concerning for our democracy, again, assuming that he doesn't actually produce evidence of any problems.
As of Thursday afternoon, Governor Bevin's campaign had not produced evidence, but promised more information would be released as it's collected. The governor said he simply wants to ensure the integrity of the process.
Governor Matt Bevin's lieutenant governor, who was dropped from his ticket in 2019, says Tuesday's election results were a nail-biter, but says she has no ill will towards Bevin. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The Oldham Era reports Hampton made the comments during an appearance at Oldham County Middle School, telling reporters she was surprised by some of the results, but, quote, it's an election and the people have spoken. In the final tally, Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear bested Bevin by just over 5,000 votes, prompting the governor to request a re-canvass. Hampton and Bevin have been at odds after the governor dismissed 2 of her top staffers, leading to a court fight. The lieutenant governor said, quote, this is certainly not how I would have scripted my last year in office, but I know the Lord is working to do something, so it's all good, end quote. Hampton was replaced on the Bevin ticket by Senator Ralph Alvarado. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky Sports Radio host Matt Jones says he was ready to announce he would not run for U.S. Senate before he was hit with a complaint from the Federal Election Commission. The complaint led Jones to taking a leave of absence from KSR on iHeartRadio. He took to social media Thursday night to update his fans, saying he intended to announce on Thursday morning that he did not plan to run. Jones was considering a challenge to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He formed an exploratory committee in August. Jones would go up against retired Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath in the Democratic primary. Jones tells WKYT he was waiting until after Kentucky's 2019 general election to decide on whether or not to throw his hat into the Senate race. Jones was the number one trend in America on Twitter Thursday with hashtag FreeMattJones.
A suspect in Lexington's latest shooting was most likely shot by a co-conspirator, police say. The shooting happened at an apartment on Rose Street Thursday morning. Witnesses say a 42-year-old man was shot after 2 armed men wearing bandanas burst into the residence during a robbery. While officers were processing the apartment scene, police received a call that another man with gunshot wounds had been dropped off at a local hospital. This man was identified as Jaron Davis. Police tell LAX 18 they believe Davis was one of the suspects who had entered the apartment and was possibly shot by the other perpetrator. Davis has since been charged with assault and robbery. Police are continuing their search for the second suspect.
A Grayson man has been indicted for allegedly unlawfully imprisoning a woman. 58-year-old Coleman Binion was indicted by the Carter County Grand Jury on the charge of first-degree unlawful imprisonment, which is a Class D felony. Court records indicate that Binion restrained a woman under circumstances which exposed her to a risk of serious physical injury. Binion was also arrested in July on unrelated charges after he fired a gun at the ground near a man, nearly striking him, according to police reports. Binion was arrested at the scene by the Carter County Sheriff's Department on charges of first-degree disorderly conduct and first-degree wanton endangerment.
One person was killed in a shootout with police after opening fire in a Louisville Kroger Thursday night. According to witnesses, an argument broke out in the produce section of the store where one man pulled a knife and another pulled a gun. Witnesses tell Wave 3 News what they encountered on the scene.
It's scary. He was shooting it. It sounded like a machine gun was going so fast.
When I pulled in, there was one cop car sitting there and had the car at gunpoint.
Already facing a lawsuit from last year's deadly shooting at its Jeffersontown location, Kroger issued a statement Thursday night thanking officer response time. Louisville Metro Police Department says they will release officer body camera video later today.
A former Kentucky accountant accused of paying for sex with young women who were addicted to drugs faces federal conspiracy charges. The Herald Leader reports 49-year-old Mark Mislago of Lexington was charged Monday in federal court with conspiring to distribute drugs and conspiring to engage in sex trafficking. According to court documents, this happened in Whitley and Laurel counties between 2015 and 2019. Prosecutors allege that 72-year-old Logan Towery provided drugs to young women, then passed them on to Mislago for sex. Towery has been indicted on similar conspiracy charges and a gun charge. One victim told police she was 17 when she first met Towery. Ms. Lago's attorney declined to comment.
The woman accused of killing a 10-year-old girl in an alleged intoxicated driving crash pleaded not guilty in court Thursday. An attorney for 25-year-old Sequoia Collins entered a plea on her behalf following her indictment on murder, first-degree assault, three counts of first-degree wanton endangerment, and operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The crash happened in July at the intersection of Tates Creek Road and Lansdowne Drive, where the posted speed limit is 45 miles per hour. Police say Collins was under the influence of alcohol and driving more than 80 miles per hour when she ran a red light and hit another vehicle, according to witnesses. 10-year-old Alexia Gomez Hernandez died of injuries sustained in the crash. Alexia was one of the six people in the vehicle. Police said that Collins' blood alcohol content level 4 hours after the crash was 0.21. A blood test also confirmed that she had traces of cocaine in her system.
Fire departments in Winchester responded to explosions that led to a fire at a hemp processing company, Gincana, on Thursday. Crews were dispatched to Colby Road shortly after 8 p.m. to the facility's G1 building. Clark County Fire Chief Ernie Barnes tells WKYT what his crew had to be cautious of.
Well, you know, all fires are dangerous. They do use some different chemicals in the refinement process, so that makes it a little extra cautious. And then just due to the structural damage, we have to make sure that it's safe for our crews to work in.
Part of Gincana's business is to extract CBD oil from hemp plants. The company also cultivates and supplies farms with the plants. No injuries were reported. The cause of the fire is unknown at this time.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast. This afternoon, sunny with a high near 38. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 22. Saturday, sunny with a high near 49. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 32. Sunday, sunny with a high near 58. Sunday night, increasing clouds with a low around 40. Veterans Day, a 40% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 51. Monday night, 80% chance of rain and snow with a low around 23.
Taking a look at temperatures around your region, it's currently 36 degrees in Winchester, 36 degrees in Inez, 38 over in Grayson, 39 in Ashland, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 37 degrees. On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff wonders if ideas were anonymous, would that change how we value them?
Let's first examine today the odd human behavior of deciding whether an idea is good or bad based on who states it. Would you accept without much comment or objection, without boycotting and calling for heads to roll, if a news program used footage from Kentucky to provide evidence of reckless bombing in Syria? Apparently we all would if the source turns out to be ABC News, for whom we appear to readily forgive sins, given their normally even-handed and unbiased presentation. Would you let it slide if a presidential candidate stated unequivocally that marriage was a sacred bond involving God between a man and a woman? You would if the candidate was named Barack Obama. Would you grant me constant in-home surveillance, access to conversations and intercourse of other kinds without regard for privacy? You would if my name were Alexa or Siri. Okay, Google. Would you accept a business proposal from anyone that would make some people a heck of a lot of money while requiring special waivers from the Interior Department due to the virtual slaughter of precious endangered birds? You would if I stood for wind power. Those are all bad ideas overlooked because of favoritism of sources. Other odd interplays also occur between bad ideas stated by good people and good ideas stated by bad people, to wit, Candace Owens scolds Congress that they ought to be cautious about overplaying white racism. As a black woman, she might expect to have her ideas respectfully considered. You can check yourself on how well that went. A child is felonized for making a hand gesture in school, arrested and hauled off. A crazy idea, but okay, because the people who made it happen are fighting bullying and violence. I think we just defined irony. These are the same people who sell constant surveillance of children to a private corporation called Gaggle in exchange for, once again, the angelic devotion to preventing bullying and other bad behavior. And in this capitalist boat we share, when some people speak up for capitalism, they are compared to their label and excused, of course, if they're conservative, but when Professor Paglia defends it, she is scolded as a bad progressive. The idea then becomes bad in part because of who says it, not because she's a bad thinker, but rather one expects more of a libertine professor, don't you know? Speaking of professors, one that recently studied liberalism among faculty and administration was called out as a bad man for daring to suggest the predominance of liberal thinking on campuses. Well, this is like cussing someone for saying it's sunny while you're getting sunburned. Bad professor, pointing out what everyone knows anyway. Scold him for redundancy, not for telling the truth. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 36 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this very cold Friday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The Vikings are headed to Eagle Country tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. The Round County football team travels to Covington tonight. The Vikings square up with Scott High for the second time this season, looking for redemption from their 58-28 loss back in Week 6. Head coach Kelly Ford says his team has been focused on making some changes on the field this week.
Well, number one, defensively, we've got to get off the field on third down. Even when we played them the first time, we had several opportunities to get off, and we let them get a big play. But we got to go up and tackle. They got a real good receiver. You know, we got to tame him and the running back. But we've got to get off the field on third down defensively.
Kickoff tonight is set for 7:30 p.m. The Round County Senior High School volleyball team is heading to the state tournament this evening. The Vikings enter the game at 30-9 on the year and will be facing Corbin during round one. Head coach Steve Walters says once you get to this level, execution is everything.
Focus on volleyball and put the pressure on the other team, and then hopefully the event will be bigger than them than it's bigger than us. You know, all these teams now, you can't play catch-up. You can't let them get on big runs of several points. We're going to have to be able to move through rotations and keep the pressure on them.
The state tournament takes place at Valley High School in Louisville. First serve for the Vikings tonight will be at 8 p.m. The Morehead State volleyball team welcomes Tennessee Tech to Johnson Arena tonight. The Eagles enter the weekend play as winners of the 12 of 13 home matches this season. They are 19-6 overall and 10-2 in the Ohio Valley Conference. Head coach Jamie Gordon says the Golden Eagles are playing very well this season, knocking off some big teams at home and on the road.
They've got a really strong middle attack, one of the top outsides in the conference. They're a similar team that's just getting better each week. And so I think the team that we faced at the beginning of the season or the beginning of the conference season down in Cookeville is going to be way different than the one we're going to see. And I think our team, you know, needs to make sure that they're prepared not for what they played, but what they are going to have in front of them.
Game time tonight is set for 6 p.m. The Eagles host Jacksonville State tomorrow at 2 p.m. Both of those matches can be seen on ESPN+. The Morehead State University football team is on the road this weekend. The Eagles will be in Valparaiso to take on the Crusaders tomorrow afternoon. Head coach Rob Tenure says he's liked the consistency from his offense in recent games and hope it pays off.
I think things are slowing down for him, and he's progressing really well in throwing the football and leading our offense. So, and then Landon and Ian Holder and Devontae Adams, and you know, we got a lot of guys catching up or you know, catching some big balls in crucial times. But we want to emphasize our third downs going into this game. I think that's going to be a huge stat, and that's what we've been working on all week.
Kickoff in Indiana is set for 2:00 tomorrow. The Morehead State women's basketball team heads to Bowling Green, Ohio tomorrow. The Eagles got the win over Hillsdale last week in an exhibition game. Tomorrow's game marks the start of the regular season for MSU, and head coach Greg Todd says going in, the team is feeling pretty good.
Health-wise, knock on wood, we've had a pretty good start. We don't have a large number of girls. We have 11 girls that are eligible to play for this season. And so far, all 11 of those provide, you know, get through a couple practices here, are ready to go in Bowling Green on Saturday.
Tip-off against the Falcons tomorrow is set for 2:00. A member of the Morehead State University soccer team has received recognition from the Ohio Valley Conference. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
After helping anchor the Morehead State soccer team's defense and being a consistent threat offensively, sophomore defender Nicole Palmer was named second-team All-Ohio Valley Conference. Palmer, a 5'10" Philadelphia, Pennsylvania native, started in 17 matches and logged a team-best 1,666 minutes. Offensively, Palmer led the Eagles in goals, shots on goal, and game-winning goals. In 2018, Palmer was named to the OVC's All-Newcomer team after an impressive showing during her freshman campaign. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And finally in sports this afternoon, Morehead State University will host an intercollegiate saddle seat riding association show Saturday, November 9th, for saddle seat teams from the University of Kentucky, Louisville, and Georgetown College. The equestrian team is a club sport organization and is made up of students from across all class standings and majors. Devin Lisnick, the equestrian team coach, she says the horses benefit the entire agricultural department.
So the university owns about 40 horses, and they get used for all facets of the program. So the equestrian team rides them We offer riding classes. We offer academic classes that actually have labs. And then we also have a vet tech program. And the vet tech students also use the horses for a lot of hands-on stuff for their program, so they get experience.
The show will be hosted at the Derrickson Agriculture Complex. Admission is free, and it begins at 1 p.m. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball plays Stetson at 6 p.m. on Friday, November 15th, and St. Francis at 1 p.m. on Sunday, November 17th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The major stock averages rose slightly, notching fresh record closing highs as Wall Street capped off a week in which trade optimism sparked a massive rotation out of bonds and into equities. And at the close, the Dow Industrials inched up 6.38 at 27,681.18. The S&P 500 was up 7.88 at 3,093.06. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 40.8, finishing at 8,475.31. For the week, it was a very nice week for all three major averages. The NASDAQ was up 1.1%, extending its weekly winning streak to 6, and the Dow Jones has now posted a three-week winning streak, advancing 1.2%. A spokesperson for the Chinese Commerce Ministry said yesterday that China and the U.S. had agreed to cancel existing tariffs in phases. A U.S. official also reportedly said both sides agreed to roll back the levies in tranches. And, of course, that led to a very good market move yesterday. And also Jean-Claude Juncker, president of the European Commission, said that there won't be any auto tariffs from the U.S. on Europe next week. President Trump has until November 13th to decide whether he will pursue with car tariffs on the EU. The risk on sentiment and improving tone around trade took a big bite out of bonds. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield jumped more than 15 basis points at one time yesterday, and this was its biggest upward move since the 2016 election. The 10-year rate hovered around 1.92% today after starting the week at 1.75%. Sentiment was also boosted this week by corporate earnings results that have generally beaten expectations. Of the 425 S&P 500 companies that have reported thus far, 74% have beaten estimates. Disney posted better-than-forecast quarterly numbers, sending the stock up about 4%. Disney's revenues for its media and network segment topped estimates, while sales for the company's parks, studio entertainment, and direct-to-consumer businesses also beat expectations. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5%, finishing at $57.41 a barrel. Gold was down 0.4% at $1,460.30 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks had a weak day, finishing down with the stock 600 index down 0.25%. And Asia also had somewhat of a weak day, with the Shanghai down 0.5% and the Hang Seng down 0.7%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank down 5 cents at $30.56, UPS up 77 cents at $124.26, Lowe's up $1.38 at $113.98, Marathon Petroleum down 2 cents at $66.23, and Yum Brands was down 73 cents to finish at $98.93. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Taking another quick look at your region's weather for tonight, mostly clear, a low around 22, and for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 49. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Sarah Mead, Shaw Marie Mosley, Wyatt Melton, Nacogdoches Miller, Ty Martin, and Chaz Jenkins. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modath. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.